This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And if, yes, those of you who are watching, I have not been relegated to a broom closet. I'm broadcasting live from our Odyssey stations in Richmond because I am running the Richmond Half Marathon tomorrow. My wife is running the full Richmond Marathon tomorrow. So I am down here in anticipation of running a very long way, but only half as far as she is. I got my dual water bottles here, one with electrolytes, one regular water. We got to make sure we finish those by the end of the show. In fact, I'll take a quick sip now as we get set up for how we normally start the show the day after a game. Thanks again to Ian Eagle for joining us. We could get Ian at 4. We'll take Ian at 4. But now it's time to do this.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations.
Put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
Let's go ahead and hit that number one, Ant. Yeah, there we go. So first and foremost, something that needs to be said. The Eagles are a better football team. The Eagles are just simply better than the Commanders. And that's okay. That doesn't mean the Commanders are a bad football team. That means that the Eagles are one of the best teams in football. Since the bye, they are 6-0. They are very, 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 very much that team. And you see it in a litany of ways last night. And that's, again, I'm not going to say like, oh, it's okay that the Commanders weren't as good. That's not really what we're trying to say here. It's not about like, oh, it's okay to be not as good as your opponents. It's just we understand where they are in the process. And the Commanders have been kind of out over their skis from a talent perspective for a lot of the year. I think in the games that they have lost, and it's kind of shown up. You know, Tampa, there was a talent issue where they just didn't have guys to cover some of these receivers. For the Eagles last night, there's a bit of a talent issue on some of the stuff that we're going to talk about in the next nine things. And for the Baltimore game, same thing. Like, they just didn't have in man-on-man situations, the other team's men are better football players than this team's men. I don't know how many more teams left on their schedule. That's going to be a problem. There are certainly specific players like a Micah Parsons once you get to the Dallas game that is a problem. But like New Orleans, Tennessee, even Atlanta. Like Atlanta, maybe on paper, but I don't know realistically if that is a better team. And I think that is the biggest takeaway from last night is like, man, the Eagles are really good. And I know that's not very fun to hear about your division rival, but that's the truth about last night.
Number two.
The next level of that analysis is when you have an inferior roster and you are operating the way the Commanders have this year, everything you do has to be schemed up. And oh my God, has Cliff Kingsbury been really good at scheming it up this year. And there have been long stretches of games where Joe Witt Jr. has also been that guy, right? Where he's just been on other teams. It feels like the coverage is really sticky. The pass rush is getting home. There's pressure. They're on the runs. And that's because they're on it. And then all of a sudden, they hit some skids where a guy makes a play. And I think that when you get to, you know, for instance, the third downs last night, we'll talk about more in a second. Like, guys are just making plays. Jalen Hurts just made a play. Saquon Barkley makes a play. A.J. Brown makes a play. And it's not this super fancy schematic, we've got a guy to spring open, or we created an unblocked pressure. It's just someone winning a one-on-one matchup. And that is, it's the best teams have both. The Chiefs are well-schemed, and they have great players. That's why they're back-to-back defending champions. The Eagles, I think, are a step below that. I don't think offensively they are particularly well schemed. They are certainly not particularly well detailed. They had a mesh concept last night where they had two dudes run into each other. And you're like, that just shouldn't happen. But if you're good enough to have your quarterback extend the play and then run out, that same play could have easily been a touchdown had Jalen looked up instead of just flicking the ball in the general direction of two wide open players that it never had a chance. If he had looked up a half second sooner, he's going to loft a ball into the end zone. So that's sometimes the difference. And the inverse of that means when you are an inferiorly talented team, when you have an inferior roster to your opponent, and your details are not on every P and Q, which is where the Commanders' offense is right now, it looks like it did last night. This is a run game that was sensational earlier in the year. Every block hit exactly perfectly. They got guys pulling all over the place. Defenses are constantly confused. Every detail just seemed like it was accounted for. And I think fatigue is hitting this team hard. The fact that they have a week 14 bye, they've been going pretty much nonstop since training camp. And then they were on a short week. And I think some of those details get lost. Also, when you're injured, you are just not able to be as good. You know, you may have practiced it at speed X. Now you're speed X minus two. And that timing that you had earlier in the season, not quite there. There's a little bit more of a gap for your double team to be split or something like that. And so both the Eagles' talent just overwhelming the Commanders' scheme happened last night, and the lack of detail for Washington in areas that they've had it earlier in the year combined with the inferior roster led to the results in a major way.
Number three.
So the biggest decision of the game is definitely the fourth down decision by Dan Quinn. However, I think he made the right decision despite the loss. And it was funny because I got a text from one Anthony Haney, perhaps, last night. Anthony, you were not happy about that. You were not a happy camper at all.
I was angry, actually.
Do you still feel that way today?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that coming up at 5:45 in more detail. But I think that the Commanders made the right decision there, because in my notes, which are over here, let me see if I can find this exactly where I wrote this down. As that game went on, I wrote, and the drive that was started at 2:27 in the second half, or in the third quarter. So this is the drive that crossed over the end of the third quarter into the fourth. Big letters. Defense is tired. Their offense gave them no support. And at that point in the game, I think Dan Quinn knew. One, the analytics and all that kind of stuff said your win probability was higher if you went for it. So they're a good fourth down team. They trust their execution in those spots. They're prepared for those spots. They wound up screwing up the execution in a major way. But from a decision standpoint, it's cemented as correct by the fact that if you don't get a just hold the ball longer, give your defense more rest. Nevertheless, if you don't score, you're not winning that game. And does it play out differently? Does the play calling change maybe if the Eagles are still down? Do they feel the pressure? Oh my God, are these missed kicks going to come back and screw us? Maybe. But chances are exactly what happened was probably what was going to happen. And that is that defense was tired. They had no more stops left in them. And all Philadelphia was going to do was jam it down their throat. And Washington's offense was going to have to win that game for them at some point. They had so many chances. The defense did such an outstanding job that I think Dan Quinn made the right decision there. I know it doesn't work out, and thus it is easier to yell that he was wrong. But all he was doing was making the decision in that moment versus having it be a slower, more painful death over the course of the next couple of minutes that it ultimately played out to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Number four.
I know we need to talk a lot more about Jaden Daniels, and this is going to be an interesting thing to discuss next week after I've had a chance to watch the tape. But the last, like, yesterday was the first day that Jaden Daniels really, really felt like a rookie in the NFL in a game. Pittsburgh, somewhat, but it also just looked like a lot of quarterbacks facing the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was definitely mystified by that zone match scheme that the Philadelphia Eagles run. And that makes sense because Vic Fangio is the godfather of that scheme. And since they put Cooper DeJean in the lineup, since they changed up some of what they're doing with Kenyon Mitchell, they have, and by the way, have had time to just get more and more reps underneath them, that they are running that scheme as well as any Vic Fangio team ever has, and he's coordinated some of the best defenses in the last 20 years of the NFL. They are so sticky in coverage, and it is so hard for a rookie quarterback to understand what he's supposed to do with the football because it's this weird blend of zone and man. It's like, oh, it's quarters. Against quarters, this should be open. Nope, that guy's covered. Now what do I do? Ouch, Jalen Carter hit me. And there was a ton of that last night. There's a play where he's about to throw a slant, and all of a sudden the defensive end drops underneath it, and like he's got to pull the ball back down, and by then everything else is covered. The Eagles are so good on the back end, and you have to be so quick and so decisive, and it's so hard if you've never seen it, that preparing for that on a short week where you don't have your practice reps. The VR stuff is great for Jaden, but he's probably short a couple hundred reps on the VR just because there's not as many days. And so that, of all the teams to play in the NFL, that is one of the bottom five, one that I'd want to play probably period right now, but especially on a short week when you haven't done it before. And I think that we're going to look back on and say that was the bigger factor for Jaden's failings than anything else that we're going to talk about, including...
Number five.
Yes. Unquestionably, Jaden Daniels has not been the same player since the rib injury. They have also played some of the toughest defenses in the NFL. Chicago at the time was in the midst of a streak where they had not given up over 20 points in like almost a year, like almost a calendar year. It's going back like 12, 13 games. All right, Carolina, obviously they smoked. That's the game he got hurt. Pittsburgh, or the Giants, like defensively, they do some nice things, but he looked pretty solid in that game. And then Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Okay, yeah. He definitely is not throwing the ball as well as he did, as confidently as he did earlier in the year. But I have gotten emails, we've gotten YouTube comments, I've gotten social media correspondence, everything. Do they need to bench him for Marcus until he's healthy? No. No, they don't. We don't need to play that game. I'm sure I'm going to get calls that say it. And I'll listen. I will be nice. This is an open forum for the exchange of ideas. That's what we do when we take calls. But I personally do not think that is remotely a conversation, because I think a lot of the stuff that is happening to him is because of the other team, not some limitation that he has. And to see him run last night again was great. Now, 10 days off, all that rib is going to do is get even better. I think we are past that point where that needs to be a discussion.
Number six.
That said, it'd be nice if the offensive line could protect him. Brandon Coleman, again last night, really struggled with some power rushes. We obviously saw him give up the sack on the speed rush to Nolan Smith. He has been largely very good this year. Last two games, not so much. So I don't know whether that shoulder is bothering him, whether teams have gotten some tape on it and figured some things out. He's a young player. He's a third-round pick. The idea that he was going to come in and be awesome, snap in, snap out as a rookie, is a pipe dream. So that is to say, I'm not out on Brandon Coleman. It is merely saying that in the moment, he's having some struggles, but so is everybody else on that line. Those dudes are banged up. They are hurt. They are not moving as well. They're not getting the push in the run game. They are not as solid in their pass protection. And that has also made Jaden Daniels' job really hard, because of course it has.
Number seven.
Number seven, the third downs on both sides of the ball are so frustrating. Offensively, man, like that's really tough. And for instance, that fourth down sequence, they actually were in a second and one there, then got stuffed. It's third and two, they get stuffed again, and then they blow up on fourth down. Three downs to get 2 yards? What are we doing? And there's a couple of those, but there's also some obviously longer situations. But I think the more frustrating side is defensively, where they had a couple of third and eight, third and nines, third and six plus for sure, and the Eagles are able to get them either by second play extension by Hurts with his arm. He had a couple where he scrambled. Just, it's a really hard situation. And I think they're trying to still find the balance of, do we pressure? Are we better off playing coverage? They've had some level of success doing both. And I don't know what it is week in, week out. But that's where the fact that the Eagles are better and they just have dudes who make plays can extend, find out, figure it out. Saquon slips a tackle, goes big gain on the Percy Butler miss on that key third down. Like, it is those kinds of plays that good teams make. And the Commanders have been a good team for a lot of times this year, but the Eagles are a better team, and they're the ones that made it last night.
Number eight.
Another thing that I think when you talk about some of these conversions is the short fields, the missed kicks and everything last night. The Commanders at times took advantage of their short fields, such as their first touchdown drive. But a lot of times, they didn't just not take advantage in terms of getting points. They'd go three and out. And now you've cost yourself valuable field position. And so one of the big issues for me offensively the last couple of weeks is that the Commanders have not only not been scoring at the same rate, but they've had way too many three and outs. They have got to find a way to get that first down, extend the drive a little bit, help out their defense, stay on the field a little longer. That also allows them to get to their tempo. They don't typically go as fast until they get that first down because they don't want to go three and out quickly, which is smart. And so that, you know, efficiency needs to happen if they want to have any chance to win any major football game that they're going to be in the rest of the year.
Number nine.
All right, plenty of your calls next at 301-230-0980. But first, these two things. One, the officiating was bad again last night. And I feel better saying this today because no one is looking at that game being like, oh my God, the officials cost the Commanders the game like a lot of people felt in the Pittsburgh game. Because you can go in the Pittsburgh game and find a bunch of calls that went bad both ways. Just so happens that the last one was the fourth down call that was controversial at best. And maybe it was correct, maybe it wasn't. But last night, the illegal contact on Sainer Still earlier in the game, hideous. Just as bad later in the game. There's a couple of calls on the Eagles that are just unbelievably bad. And the broadcast caught those. I don't know what they were like, why they weren't aghast at the first one. But this stuff can't happen in the NFL. And the Eagles could have won by more last night had they gotten a couple of those calls. So it's easier to point it out and have people take you seriously in the loss. But NFL, like, please do better because some of these really, really bad missed calls are just, they're fake calls. And that's not good enough.
Number 10.
And then last but not least, Amazon Prime Vision. I don't know if y'all checked out the alternate broadcast. That is sick. That is the coolest camera angle, the drawing on the field, being able to identify personnel. It's kind of like an all 22 camera, but from the end zone. So it's a little more zoomed out and you can really see plays develop. I would actually love to watch that angle more than I would the all 22 tape. It'd take a second to adjust, but you can see that much on that angle. Very, very cool. If they had won this game and it was more fun to watch, I'd say go back and watch it on that if you have NFL Game Pass. But definitely check it out next Thursday Night Football that you want to watch. It is worth, you know, spending a little bit of time with that camera angle. It's a really cool way to see the game. And so shout out to Amazon for doing something different and cool. All right, that's it for our first and 10. When we get back, we will take your calls, 301-230-0980. It's a Tell the Truth Monday, kind of, on a Friday. And that's next on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.